Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name.
I want to welcome everybody this morning, especially the visitors and the friends, to fellowship with us this morning. I want to wish you again a happy Sabbath. I'm so glad you could join us this morning, and I'm also happy to be here. And so far, I've been receiving a blessing throughout the church service so far. So this morning, I'm going to bring you the Song of Moses and the Lamb. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask for a special blessing this morning on the church family. We ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us this morning, Lord, impressing the hearts of your people, Lord, as we continue to praise you through the sermon this morning. Please anoint my lips, Father, and be with me as I give the message to them that you have given to me. We ask all of this in the precious and beautiful name of Jesus, we ask. I've had a little bit of a cold this week, so you have to bear with me for a little bit if I kind of go in and out. There's an old story of the boy who stood on a sidewalk, waiting on a bus. A man walking by spotted the boy and gave him some gentle instructions. "Son," he said, "if you're waiting for the bus, you need to move to the other side of the corner. That's where the bus stops for passengers." "Oh, it's okay," said the boy. "I'll just wait right here, and the bus will stop for me." The man repeated his argument, but the boy never moved. Just then, the bus appeared. Amazingly, the bus pulled over to where the boy stood, and the child hopped on. The man on the sidewalk stood speechless, couldn't believe his eyes. The boy turned around in the doorway, and he said, "Mister, I knew the bus would stop here, because the bus driver is my dad." He continued to tell me, "When you've got a family relationship with the bus driver, you don't need a bus stop. You don't need a bus stop. If your mother is a U.S. senator, you won't need an appointment to slip into her office. If you've given your heart to the King of Kings, you're in a royal family of unspeakable portions." Can you say amen to that? We can call on the Lord as Christians. We are a royal priesthood, a fellowship of priests who are to come boldly before the throne of grace and in God's presence through the new and living way opened up for us by the blood of Jesus. In today's scripture reading, which Callie did really good at, in Psalms 100, verse 4, and I'm going to continue with verse 5, we are told to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. He tells us we are to be thankful to him and bless his name. "For the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see how good the Lord is. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations." Amen? Amen. So all this quarter, you all have been hearing and learning about the many types of prayers recorded in God's Word. They are there for us to learn how we can approach the throne of grace and enter into his presence and make known to him what we are asking for. Each of these prayers in these stories is an example for us on pressing in to his presence. My sermon today, church family, will be on prayers of praise. And we will be looking at the many prayers of praise in the Bible. For you can say with me, the Lord alone is worthy to be praised. And he wants to hear us praise him throughout the day and night. And we will also learn when to praise him, what it means to praise him, and how to praise him today. So we're going to look at when to praise him. Let's go back and look at today's scripture. Go ahead and turn to it in your Bible. I have it in my notes. Let's look at that scripture again. Psalms 100, verse 4. Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. The definition of praise, church family, is the joyful expression of gratitude. The joyful expression of gratitude in words or songs as an act of worship, a hymn of praise to God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with, what was that?
Praise,
yes. Here we are encouraged to come into his presence through the heavenly portal of thanksgiving. We are asked to enter into his courts through the heavenly portal of thanksgiving. According to the definition of phrase, of praise, as I just read, do you remember what it was? The definition of praise is the joyful expression of gratitude in words or song. It is an act of worship. It is an act of worship, a hymn of praise to God. So according to the definition of praise, as I just read, how are we to approach God? How are we to approach our Lord and Savior? With a joyful expression of gratitude to God for his goodness all week to us, recognizing him as the giver of every good and perfect gift. God wants us to recognize, appreciate, and acknowledge his goodness, that we may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving and acknowledge his goodness and proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving all of his wondrous works that we can see all around us. Thanksgiving is a form of praise. Thanksgiving is a form of praise. Well, when should we be doing this thanksgiving of praise? The first portion of our prayers, as we come before the throne of grace, the first portion of our prayer should be giving praise and thanksgiving. The very first thing as you start your prayer should be, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. We are to be giving thanksgiving to our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Yes? Amen. In Matthew 6:9, the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Praising God for his holiness. Jesus did this as he taught his disciples. He praised his Father at the very beginning. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. And as we look at scripture, we can see how Daniel and Paul began and offered their prayers to our Lord through thanksgiving and praise words. In Daniel 2, 20 through 23, we won't turn there, but I'm going to quote the scripture for you. Daniel says, praise the name of God forever and ever. Not just a little bit, not just once a week, but forever and ever we are to praise God. He controls the course of world events. Do you know that? He controls the course of events in this world. He reveals deep and mysterious things. And Daniel says, I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. He begins his prayer with a prayer of praise to his Father. In Romans 11, 33 through 36, Paul offers a prayer of praise. And he does this just before the end of his prayer. In verses 11, 33 through 36, he says, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible is it for us to understand his decisions? How impossible is it for us to understand his decisions for our lives? And how can we understand his ways? For who can know the Lord's thoughts? And who has given him so much? For what comes from him, church family? What comes from God constantly? Everything. Everything comes from our Lord. And Paul says, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for glory. Amen? Amen. So that is what we have learned about when to praise him. Now we're going to be looking at what it means to praise him. What it means to praise him. There are faith-building exercises for us to learn when to praise him. God writes out a prescription for us. He prescribes the practice of praise to open our hearts like receptacles. We become vessels ready to be filled with a greater measure of truth and faith, aren't we? We become vessels to be filled with a greater measure of faith and trust as we practice praising to him. Well, what's practice to praising mean? Let me tell you a little bit about that. The story is told of a wonderful elderly Christian lady. She had very little money, and she lived in a run-down house. But she was always praising the Lord. Her only problem was with the old man who lived next door. He was always trying to prove to her that there was no God. He was always trying to do this. So one day, as the old man was walking by her house, he noticed the woman in an open window. She was kneeling down in prayer. So he crept over to the window to see if he could hear her. She was praying, Lord, you've always given me what I've needed. Can you hear yourself saying this? Lord, you've always given me what I've needed. And now you know I don't have any money. I don't have what I need to get through the rest of the week. And I'm completely out of groceries. And I won't get another check for a week. She continued, somehow, Lord, she said, can you get me some groceries? Can you get me some groceries, Lord? The man had heard all he needed at this point. He crept away from the window, ran down to the grocery store. He bought milk, bread, and lunch meat. And he ran back to the woman's house carrying these groceries. He set the bag down by her door and rang the doorbell and hid beside of the house. You can imagine how the woman reacted seeing that bag of groceries sitting outside her door. "Thank you, Jesus," she shouted. "I was without food, and you provided groceries. I was without food, Lord, and you provided groceries." Oh, about that time, the old man jumped out and said, "I got you now." She was so busy shouting thanks to the Lord to pay any attention to what he was doing. He said, "I told you there was no God. It wasn't Jesus who gave those groceries to you. It was me." "Oh, no," said the woman. "Jesus got me those groceries and made the devil pay for them." She had the right attitude, didn't she? She had the right attitude. How many times have we as a church family offered up prayers of faith and trust? We've offered up prayers trusting and believing that the Lord will provide for us, just like this little old lady did. Whether they be personal or collective, believing that the Lord will get us through it and praise him. Have you heard of this song? Praising him in the storm as we go through this. Another story I want to share with you is about another Christian lady. She was driving down the highway that day as she was scheduled that day to preach two services in two towns 30 miles apart. One service began at 9:30 in the morning, and the other was at 11 o'clock in the morning, and they were 30 miles apart. She had concluded the first service and was departing for the second service. As she was traveling down a four-lane divided highway, driving southbound at the speed of 70 miles an hour. You know how when we're trying to get somewhere, we got to get there in a hurry? And so that pedal to the metal is down, and she was traveling 70 miles an hour in a divided four-lane highway. When all of a sudden she saw a white van pull out from a dirt road. It crossed the northbound lanes and came to stop in the median. The driver appeared to be looking in her direction, so she didn't slow down. Just as she approached his location, guess what he did? He soared across the first southbound lane and into the second outer lane directly in front of her. She's going 70 miles an hour. This man sees her and tries to get out in front of her before she gets there to pass. That white van, loomed large about 12 feet ahead. He was only 12 feet ahead. There was no time to hit the brakes. That would not prevent a collision anyway, she said. If she broadsided the van, someone would end up dead at this point. So she instinctively yanked that steering wheel sharply to the right. The next thing she knew, she was heading towards a deep dirt ditch that ran parallel to the road. But the worst was coming up, she said. She was careening directly toward a concrete culvert that had steel rods jutting out from the center. Can you see this, what's happening? She's trying to avoid the accident. She tries her best to get that car over to the right-hand side, and then at 70 miles an hour, woo, she said, "Lord, save me. Lord, take the wheel." And those were the only words of prayer that time would permit. She says, from that moment on, it was all a blur. Her SUV slammed nose down into the ditch, 70 miles per hour to zero upon impact. Bam! Nose down in that niche. Everything inside the SUV was flying around her. And to top it off, the SUV lurched into the air, made a quarter turn, and bounced violently to a landing. Woo! I wouldn't want to be in her shoes at that moment. And at that moment, she lost consciousness. I think that would be the case, wouldn't it, after all of this? And when she opened up her eyes after a few seconds, she was surprised because she was straddling a V-shaped ditch. She was straddling. The SUV was straddling this ditch. So she fought to get the door open to survey all around her. And as she was able finally to get out of the SUV, and she started stumbling upwards through weeds, she saw that white van. She saw that white van. He had pulled off to the side of the road a couple hundred yards up the highway. And when the driver saw her, he hopped into his van and he sped off. She couldn't believe it. Now, what could she do? She searched for her cell phone, but she couldn't find it to make a call for help. So she went back to the SUV. What do I do? What am I going to do? Nobody stopped. She tried to get passersby. You know how you want to get out and say, hey, I need some help? Nobody stopped. And so her next thought was to maneuver. Guys, maneuvering this SUV. Her next thought was to maneuver her vehicle out of its landing place. So she began straddling the sloping sides of this ditch till she continued to drive slowly for a quarter of a mile until the ground gradually graduated in elevation enough as she was moving up to get her back on the highway. What a woman. What a woman, strong woman. And then she continued to the second church. She continued to the second church and preached their message without realizing how seriously she had been injured. And she had been. The next morning, she did realize just how seriously she had been injured. And she began to think, oh, my goodness, I can imagine the medical costs and the benefits through her auto policy would be questionable. She didn't stop to make a police report. She didn't stop to call her insurance. And she'd not taken no time to do a police report. And so there was no collision had been reported to her insurance company and no witnesses. There were no witnesses to this. Because guess who got in her van and took off? She was without any witnesses. She could have murmured against the Lord at this point, couldn't she? I think we found ourselves in that kind of situation. She could have murmured to the Lord at this point, Lord, didn't I pray for traveling mercies as I was going to these speaking engagements? Why would you allow such an accident to have happened? Haven't we done this? Lord, why are these happening? When's this going to let up? But the point of the story, church family, is that she didn't murmur. She didn't murmur at this point. Instead, she praised God and thanked him that she didn't collide with the van and kill someone. Her first was, thank you, Father, for saving my life. Amazing. Thank you, Father, for sending angels to carry me beyond the culvert, the concrete culvert. Thank you, Father, for preventing the SUV from rolling over. Thank you, Father, for your protection. And thank you for blessing me with so many other blessings. And she cried out, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! She didn't murmur, if you want to know the answer to that question. She didn't murmur because God had so changed her heart through the praise and thanksgiving, through the practicing of praising and giving thanksgiving, that she sensed his blessing in every situation. He had filled her heart with trust and faith. Faith and trust exercises by praising him constantly, every day, each day, for the things he provides for us. He had filled her heart with trust and faith through the experience of acknowledging his goodness. We need those faith and trust exercises when the Lord is working on our behalf. We need to be praising him when everything looks dark. We need to be praising him when everything looks good. We need to experience in our hearts the acknowledgement of his goodness, of love and protection. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, if you want to mark this down, we are told to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, with praise. Let's shout joyfully to him with songs of praise. Well, then, if we have learned some of the following, what it means, when to praise, how do we praise him? How do we praise him every day? There are many forms of prayers of praise. In the Psalms, there are poetic prayers of praise. I would recommend beginning your morning devotion with some of the Book of Psalms. Those Psalms are beautiful, and they can bring Jesus so close to you. You feel like you and him are sitting there together, spending time together, praising his name, being in his presence. The Book of Psalms is just beautiful for prayers of praise. There are poetic prayers coming from the Psalms. There's hymns of praise, and there are songs of praise. Hymns of praise is a little different from songs of praise. As I mentioned, the poetic prayers are poems, and the Psalms records the largest collection of poetic prayers of praise. They are also a large collection of personal and collective prayers. Prayers for the individual, prayers for a group, a church family, to come together and be praising the Lord on Sabbath morning. These are collective prayers of praise. I want to look at the book of Psalm. I want to look at a passage in the book of Psalms in chapter 8. Let's look at that together. Turn with me there. Let's see the difference here between a collective prayer and a personal prayer. I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you're there, just nod your head, and we'll look at this Psalms 8, which is a collective prayer of praise by David. As we look down through it, he begins it with, O Lord, my Lord. Whose Lord does he belong to? Our. O Lord, our Lord. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Do you see the praise coming through there? Who have set your glory above the heavens. He has set his glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. I love this next part. When I, a mere human, praising my God of all of his goodness and his creative ability, when I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have ordained, what is man? Who are we compared to the Lord? Who are we compared to the Lord? We are his creation. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? We've been made a little lower than the angels, and he has crowned us and Jesus with glory and honor. Praising the Lord in this beautiful psalm. Across from there is Psalms 9, so you can just go across and look at the words of this. This is a personal prayer of praise. This is prayer and thanksgiving for the Lord's righteous judgments. Here we see, I will praise the Lord. In Psalms 8, we find, O Lord, our Lord, in that. But here it, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Is that a half a heart? Is that a fourth of a heart? How are we to praise him? With our whole heart. Nothing, anything else than our whole heart. This is a personal prayer of praise by David. The next form of praise for a prayer is in hymns. Today we will be ending our service with number 12. Let's look at that. Let's look at the wording in that. Psalms, song number 12. As we are told, we are to praise the Lord with joy and joyfulness. This is a collective hymn of praise. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee. Hail thee as the sun above. This is a hymn of praise, almost similar to the Psalms of praise, but giving us how we can learn to praise our God and Savior. This is how we praise him. The last one that we're going to look at is songs of praise. Okay, didn't we just look at a hymnal? Isn't that a song of praise? No, this is a little different. And we find songs of praise in the Bible as well. And we're going to look at two of them. We're going to look at two of them and see what the Lord is saying to us and how we are to praise him for what he has done. So the first one we're going to look at, we're going back to the Old Testament, and we're going to look at the Song of Moses. It's in Exodus 15, and we'll read some of it on down. Now, I want to explain what this Song of Moses is. The Song of Moses is about how God delivered his people through salvation over the Egyptians. We all know who Moses is, was, and what the Lord asked him to do, and how the Lord took care of what he asked Moses to do. So this is a song of Moses. This is Moses' song. It's like seeing a Christian vocalist inspired for the music that he sings, for what the Lord has done for him and what he can do for others in whatever they have come through. So this is the song of Moses, and it's about how God delivered his people through salvation. Did you catch that? Through salvation over the Egyptians. That's the first one we're going to look at. The next one is the song of Moses and the Lamb, and it's recorded in Revelations 15, verses 2 through 4. This is the song of Moses and the Lamb, is God redeeming his people from the earth and into heaven. This is at the finish line. This is where we have been redeemed to. So this is the song of Moses and the Lamb pertaining to, who is it? Jesus. And this is God redeeming his people from the earth and into heaven. Mental note here. The Bible, both are recorded with the same chapter and the same verses, but in different places of the Bible. Isn't that awesome? The Song of Moses in Exodus 15, 2 through 4. The Song of Moses and the Lamb, Revelations 15, 2 through 6. What's that all about? What are we supposed to learn from that? Let's look at it and see. So let's turn in our Bibles. If you knew that I wasn't going there, I am. Let's look at Exodus 15, verses 2 through 8. And as we're looking at these beautiful praise and faith-building songs of deliverance, this is the first one we're going to look at. This is the song of Moses. And again, remember what I told you what it was about? It is about how God delivered his people through salvation over the Egyptians. This is what it is. So I'm going to give you a short description in case you have forgotten, because we should all know the crossing of the Red Sea. We should all know the story of Moses and how God delivered the complete, God delivered the complete victory of Israel over the Egyptians and how it was obtained. And here in this passage of Scripture, the Song of Moses, we are told how it was celebrated. We're learning how to praise the Lord. And so we're going to learn how it was celebrated. Because, church family, as the Lord was providing an escape route for his children from the Egyptians, as they were moving across that riverbed, as the water was like a wall of water on each side, and they were moving down that riverbed. We're talking 600,000 people here. In the middle of the night, they believed and had faith that they would get down that riverbed because Moses told them, God will deliver you, and they had faith. And as he raised up that arm and through the night, the waters stood up on both sides. How could they see where they were going? And how could they be sure they weren't seeing where they were going? Do you know what God used to deliver them? What was that? He used a cloud. Through the day, he used a cloud. But in this case, he had to use a cloud because the chariots were coming. The Pharaoh was running. That cloud had to protect the children of Israel during the night as a fog, only thicker than a fog, and still give light to the children of Israel. And as they're running down through there and the cloud is in front of them, the Lord told them, be quiet. be quiet while I'm delivering you. Why would he want them to be quiet? What was that, Virginia? So they couldn't be heard. If you want to get away and get away quietly without making a... Can you imagine 600,000 people being quiet trying to get down that riverbed? And it took all night. Shh, the Lord said, be quiet, as he put up the cloud, the pillar of cloud. And then he said afterwards, you don't have to be quiet, because now we're going to have a celebration. That's what he told him. The pillar of fire, Anthony, led them out of the riverbed so they could see, because in the dark, you know, you were right, but the cloud protected their covering, and the pillar of fire guided them out of the riverbed. And so now the Lord says, we're going to celebrate, because why? Why would they be celebrating? What was that? They're being delivered. And guess who's delivering them? The Lord is delivering them out of there. Yes. And so he wanted a celebration. He himself called for the celebration. And the next morning, when they got up, guess what they saw laying on the banks of the shore? What was that? Yeah, the chariots, the bodies. Dead bodies lying upon the shore. Was that proof enough that they'd been delivered? Did they need proof maybe at this point? Was their faith and trust built at this point? Yes. Yes. All those dead bodies lying on the shore, God inspired Moses to write this song of Moses. And Moses gave it to the people. And they expressed their joy in God and thankfulness to him by singing and praising and giving glory to God and the triumphs that he had brought them through. Israel rejoiced in God. Happy, therefore, the people whose God is the Lord. They need no more to make them happy. When God is on our side, should we be sad and downhearted?
No,
we should be happy, rejoicing. Amen. Praise the Lord. It should be coming out of our mouths for everything he does for us. For everything he does for us. We should be happy that God provides for us. And they knew that, but they still had work to do. Don't we still have work to do? Don't we have temptations to bear and afflictions to bear? Are we not weak in ourselves? And who strengthens us? Jesus strengthens us. And his grace, what's he tell us? His grace is sufficient for us. Let's look at a few more verses. I want you to look down through here. Let's look how they began this song that God inspired Moses to sing. Verse 1 says, I, those people, I will sing to the Lord. They lifted up their voices in song. This is how you praise the Lord. You lift up your voice and sang. For he has what? What did he do for them? Triumphed how? Gloriously. They are expressing joy over God's great victory. The next says, the horse and its rider, what happened to them? Yeah, they were thrown into the sea. Who threw them into the sea? Amen. He has been thrown in the sea because God threw him in the sea. God reached down, tossed each horse and rider into the water one by one. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song. Who is our strong song? Amen. God is our strong song. My omnipotent God is faithful. My God is faithful. That's the reason for me to be singing. Who can you count on when you can't count on anybody else? Amen. Amen. And he has become, when we give our hearts to the Lord, what does he give us? The redemption of our sins and salvation. And they're singing, and he has become my salvation. When the sea was before them and the Egyptians were pursuing them, they were trapped. They were trapped. The water's lying before them. The Pharaoh chariots are coming after them. They were trapped. Yet God surprised them, didn't he? He surprised the Pharaoh and his chariots and the children of Israel because he delivered them. He is my God, and I will praise him. This is the most beautiful part of this song of Moses. They say, he is my God, and I will praise him. The praise word used in this passage actually means to bring God beauty. When we praise him, we bring him beauty. Singing praises to the Lord, people of all ages can bring beauty to the one that did what for us? Yeah, he created all that is beautiful. The flowers of springtime, the colors of spring, the grass, the trees, the blue sky, the birds, the flowers of color. We can sing praises to him because of this beautiful artwork that he has provided for us. I just want to kind of go down just a little few more passages on the continuance of this deliverance of Israel, down to probably verse 7 or maybe verse 6 as they're continuing to sing. It says, your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. God was destroying them for who they were and what they had done. His wrath was being poured out as he delivered the children of Israel. His wrath was poured out on the Pharaoh and his chariots. It consumed them like stubble. What is God's wrath like? It's like fire. The wrath of God is like fire. And verse 8 says, and with the blast, woo, of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy continued to pursue them, but it didn't get them anywhere. They didn't get anywhere because they were being delivered by the hand of God. God had poured out his wrath on the Egyptians through the Lord's right hand of a cloud by day, a covering by night, and light, and lighted their way by the pillar of fire till the deliverance of Israel was done, casting Pharaoh's chariots and his armies into the Red Sea until they were drowned. Can you say amen? Can he do the same for us? Can he do the same for us? Is he going to do the same for us as the end comes closer and closer? The last verse, Exodus 15, verse 18. This is the climax to the song of Moses. This is what we're going to be singing. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Ultimately, the salvation of Israel from Egypt points I want you to get this. This is important. Ultimately, the salvation of Israel from Egypt points to the coming reign of the living God over his redeemed people, which we are going to read about in Revelations 15:2. This was a prophecy. This was a happening. And it refers to Revelations 15:2, where we find the Song of Moses and the Lamb. So we're going to go there. This is very important. This is where the climax ends for us as Christians, in the Song of Moses and of the Lamb. Let's look at Revelations 15:2 and read down a little bit. If you're there, give me a nod, give me something. I know we're running over a little bit, but this is fantastic. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, they are standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. This is just before the seven vials of the plagues that are to come upon the earth before it even happens. This is what John sees in vision. It's a vision of the throne room and the sea of glass. This is before the seven plagues. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. This is a vision of the redeemed. This is a vision of the redeemed before the seven plagues are about to be poured out onto the earth. The victory has been won. Did you get that? The victory has been won in this vision of John. This is a vision, church family. This is a vision that God put in this part of Revelations as an assurance to us that we have been redeemed from the earth, and we are now standing on a sea of glass with harps. That's what he sees. He sees that promise fulfilled in the redeemed from the people of the earth, standing there on the sea of glass with harps in hand. And what are they doing? What are they doing? Huh? Yeah, singing. Singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Let's look at this scene a little bit closer. The sea of glass is a place of worship before the throne of God. The Bible will tell you that. The sea of glass here is seen. It's mingled with fire. It's mingled with fire in this vision. It's a sea of glass, but it's mingled with fire. It's mingled with fire, which is often a sign of what did we learn in the Song of Moses? What was God pouring out on Pharaoh and his chariots? What was it? Wrath. It was his wrath being poured out for his children to be delivered. In this, the fire mingled in the sea of glass is fire. It's a sign of God's judgment as the sea of glass is mingled with fire. The fire shows that the wrath of God acting judgment in this case has reached full circle. It's reached full circle because these angels are on their way to pour out God's wrath in the seven last plagues. And we are there. We are there. We have made it. We are now justified by righteousness in faith of Jesus. The sea of glass also serves as the Lord's victory stand. We are standing on the sea of glass. And the sea of glass is God's victory over all, for all of his overcomers. And the overcomers are who? We've been redeemed. We're standing on a sea of glass. We've made it. We've made it. There are those that had gotten, these are those that are standing there, are the ones who have given their hearts to the Lord. They have been faithful to him. They have trusted him. They have gone forward in faith to the end till Jesus comes back to get us. These are the people. These are the people standing on the sea of glass. And as we, because I know we want to be put in there, don't we? We want that word we in there because we want to be a part of that chorus, do we not? Do we not? And as we are standing there, we're going to be singing what? The song of Moses and the Lamb. We're going to be proclaiming the song of Moses and the Lamb because the song of the Lamb compares the complete redemptive work of Jesus, the complete work of Jesus, with God's deliverance in the Exodus. You see how both of them are tied together? The children of Israel were praising the Lord for their deliverance. We're going to be praising the Lord as we've been redeemed and delivered into the courts of heaven. Can you not say amen to that? Is that not an amazing prophecy in the book of Revelations? So we're going to read together the song of Moses and the Lamb as we close the sermon today. So turn to it in your Bible. I want to do it as we are here together. And focus yourself standing on the sea of glass. Standing on the sea of glass, praising the Lord because he has redeemed us from the earth. We are his. We're his throughout eternity. If you find it, let's stand up. Let's sing this song of Moses and the Lamb. Let's do it victoriously because the Lord is coming back. We're going to be standing on that sea of glass. I want to be there. Do you want to be there? Let me know when you're there, and let's say this together. Let's praise the Lord this morning with the song of Moses and the Lamb. I don't know what version you have, but we're going to do it. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. That's the song we're going to be singing on the sea of glass when we reach the throne of grace. Can you imagine the amount of people that that's going to sound like? I don't know how we're going to learn how to play the harps, but I'm ready to do it. So praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. So let's turn in our hymnals to number 12 and let's continue to sing joyfully, joyfully. We adore you. Number 12 in your hymnals. now, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and bless you until we come together again. Amen.